Is the pro-life movement winning? See the evidence next on Gospel of Life. I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by our Associate Director, Janet Marana. Janet, I recently had the opportunity to speak at D. James Kennedy's Church at Coral Ridge Presbyterian in Florida, and we had a mighty time in the Lord there for the conference at which I was invited to speak about reasons why the pro-life movement is winning.
Well, you know, very often when people are doing the pro-life work, they get discouraged. And other people just kind of outside and not even involved will ask, look, are you people making any progress now? After all, you've been at this for 30 plus years. And we say, of course we are. And I know the talk you gave, Father, was so inspiring about why we are actually winning.
And of course, it stressed themes that we can all agree on as Christians, no matter what our denominational affiliation might be. So we want to share with you now, brothers and sisters, part one of the talk I gave at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in 2007. And then we will have a part two in our future program to see the rest of that talk on why the pro-life movement is indeed making progress in the name and through the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a joy to be with you, brothers and sisters. The Lord has brought us together today, not only from many diverse parts of the nation, but from many diverse parts of the body of Christ. And we're together to proclaim there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We are together to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Of all the many things that we are all concerned about that destroy and degrade human life and dignity, there's nothing that takes more human life than abortion. No crime, no disease, no natural disaster, no war, no act of terrorism, nothing is claiming more victims in our nation alone. Just by surgical abortion, some 4,000 children are killed every single day. Nothing takes more life than this. And yet, when we look at this immense tragedy, we do not tremble in fear and say, oh, how are we going to overcome such a holocaust? How are we going to stop this power of death and destruction? No, you and I are disciples of the one who said, I hold the keys of death and hell. Yes, we have to look this evil in the face, but we look at it in the face as Christians who are standing up and declaring to this culture of death, your kingdom has been overturned. Your kingdom has been robbed of its power. In the name of Christ, we say to you, be gone. You have no more place here. You have no more authority over the human family. Our God is in the business of destroying death, and so must we be. Satan mocks God. He knows that he can't kill him, so he does the next best thing, kills those made in his image. And he does it by mocking everything that's holy. And therefore, you hear those who support legal abortion saying, this is my body. I can do what I want, even if it is a child inside. It's my body. I have dominion. Satan mocks God because those very words, this is my body, are used by our Savior to point us to that act of His which saves the world and conquers the power of death. This is my body, but I don't cling to it and control it so that you die. I give it away so that you live. This is my body given for you. And so he gives his life at Calvary that we may all be saved, that we may live. And he asks us to live the very same way. Not by saying, this is my body, I'm in charge. But by saying, this is my body and I give it away in love. Spouse says it to spouse, parents to children, all of us to one another. What is the call that we have? To give our very lives for one another. To love one another. And that's why, my friends, abortion is our business. You know, some people say, well, you know, I agree that abortion is wrong, but I'm beyond childbearing age. I'm too old. This is not my issue. My dear friends, you may be too old to have a child, but you're never too old to love one. You're never too old to save one. And we never get to the point in life where we are free of the obligations of justice to speak up for those who are oppressed. And there is no one more oppressed than our unborn brothers and sisters. We don't graduate from the obligation to love. We only grow in it more deeply as we come closer to eternity. You and I are called to be involved in the struggle for life. It is our business when someone's choice destroys someone else's life. It's our business not only because of our obligation to love one another, but because of our obligation to the one who has dominion over human life. This ultimately is a question of God's dominion. I was praying outside of an abortuary one time in the Midwest, and as we were praying, one of the administrators of the clinic came out. And one man literally had his toes over the property line. And this administrator started yelling and screaming, "Get your feet off our property!" So I looked at the person and I said, "And when are you going to get your hands off God's property?" Brothers and sisters, some people ask, are we making progress in the effort to end abortion? And I'm here to tell you today, as someone who works full-time in this movement, as someone who, since 1976, when I was a high school student, has worked in the pro-life movement, and since 1993 have been doing it full-time all across this great nation, I am here to say to you today, in the name of Christ, the days of legal abortion in this country are numbered. It's essential for us to face the evil directly. It's also essential for us to know that we're making progress. Not to know that in order to relax our efforts, but precisely in order to push all the harder and move all the faster until the day of victory. And the main thing that the pro-life movement does, the bulk of the work and the time, the talent and the resources are dedicated precisely to providing alternatives to abortion. And this, brothers and sisters, is what we have to make so clear in our churches, in our communities, in our families, in our schools. That we, the pro-life movement, say to those who are on their way to having abortions or who feel that this is their only choice, we say to them what Jesus says to us. Not, "I condemn you, but I am with you." That's what we say to the world in the midst of this terrible destructive force of abortion. We say, "I am with you. I am on your side." You see, because abortion is not not about freedom of choice. It's about people who feel they have no freedom and no choice. They feel trapped, abandoned, desperate, afraid. Sadly, they feel there's no one to help them except the abortionist. We, the people of Christ, the people of life, come to them and say, there are other people ready to help. Ready today to provide better choices than abortion. We are with you, and we're going to give you the courage and the resources to do what is right. That's what our movement is about. And we provide these alternatives to abortion in the form of financial assistance, medical help, legal advice, counseling, a place to live if necessary, job and education opportunities, legal advice, counseling, assistance to keep and raise that child, or to make an adoption plan. And any other need that there may be, the good news is the help is available. The sad news is so many who need that help don't know it's there. And that's where we come in, to spread the good news that there are alternatives to abortion, that no abortion is ever necessary. And we're making progress in this because now there are more pregnancy resource centers around this country than there are abortion facilities. And furthermore, the latest trend in the pregnancy center movement, as many of you well know, is that more and more of these facilities are being transformed into medical clinics. So that now, in the mind of the woman who doesn't know where to turn, we are psychologically on an even footing, on an even playing field, with a clinic where there's a doctor. So that she doesn't choose between a clinic with a doctor and some nice people who are willing to help her, but rather between a clinic that takes life and a clinic that gives life and protects life. So there is great progress being made in this effort. There's great progress being made in our movement for another reason, and it is that there is a tidal wave sweeping our nation of young people getting involved in the pro-life movement. If you go to the March for Life in Washington, you see year after year, now it has become a tremendous youth rally. Do you know why? Because it's not just the march that exhibits that. It's every facet of pro-life work. We are seeing young people coming and getting involved in greater numbers and with greater motivation than ever before. The reason is simple. They know it could have been them. They are aware that they are survivors. They are aware that they are speaking up not only for the children in the womb today, they're speaking up for themselves because they realize when they were in the womb, they were considered non-persons. What must that do to a child's mental landscape when he or she puts two and two together and realizes that abortion means the baby in the womb is killed? I was once a baby in the womb, and when I was, abortion was legal. I could have been killed. That means that for our young people today, Roe v. Wade is a personal insult. And that's why more and more young people are motivated to fight against it. From the beginning, the church has held up the signs saying dead end. Abortion solves neither the problems of an individual nor of a society. And people have gone by anyway, ignoring the signs. More and more have reached that dead end and are now turning around, finding the mercy and forgiveness of Christ, and walking down the same road in the other direction, and now they become the sign. And brothers and sisters, in greater numbers than ever before, these men and women are joining what is called the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, a campaign that we coordinate together with Anglicans for Life and various other denominations. And they are speaking publicly in legislatures, before the media, in pulpits, and out on the public streets. If you were at the March for Life, you saw them right at the front of the march, holding their signs. The women saying, "I regret my abortion," and the men holding signs that say, "I regret lost fatherhood." It is a movement across this nation. It's having an effect. And you know what? The pro-abortion people can't do a thing about it. Because as time goes on, there's more and more hurt. And as these people come to Christ, there's more and more healing, and nobody is going to silence their voices. You see, the radical feminists are really in a difficult situation because for decades they've been saying, feminism means listen to the voices of women. And now they're facing countless voices of women saying abortion was a dead end and a lie. There's no way that they can stop this or counteract it. Of course, they try by coming up with lists of women who say, "Oh, well, I had an abortion and I don't regret it." Well, that's not very impressive to me. Because if what you're saying is a thing you think is good and you're saying you had no problem doing it, that's not very impressive. What you have to do is to show that what the other side is saying is good, it really isn't. And that's exactly what we're doing. What they would have to do to counter our Silent No More Awareness campaign is to come up with tens of thousands of women and men marching and holding placards saying, "I regret my child." That's what they would have to do. And you're not going to see that anytime soon. Brothers and sisters, these men and women are not only saying to society that abortion is a lie and a dead end and a hurtful thing. Here's what they're also saying. "I committed no greater sin than to kill my child, some of them several children. But I have found mercy. I committed this sin and I was in shame and silence for many years," they are saying. "But I am not crouched in some corner, afraid to raise my eyes, burdened under the weight and shame of that sin. No, I am standing in the light of the resurrection of Christ, and I am proclaiming that His blood heals and saves me even from the sin of abortion." They are proclaiming the gospel. And people are coming to Jesus Christ because they see these people confessing His mercy, and they're going to say, "Well, if she found mercy from the sin of abortion, I can find mercy from my sins too." And it's happening. Brothers and sisters, here's another reason why we're winning. You go to websites like afterabortion.org. And you see that practically on a daily basis, more and more studies are coming out from the various branches of the human sciences showing that what harms the baby harms the mother too. It harms her physically, it harms her psychologically, it harms the family, it harms our society in ways that we haven't even begun to measure. The evidence continues to mount. And related with this, another of the reasons we are winning and the signs of progress, the other side, those who advocate for abortion, have run out of arguments. They are literally out of arguments. You go back 40 years, those who were working for the repeal of abortion laws were making all kinds of promises to us. Have abortion and we're going to reduce the rate of child abuse. We're going to see an increase in healthy families and reduction of poverty. And none of the promises that they made have come to pass. As a matter of fact, it's all gone in exactly the opposite direction since abortion has been legalized. They have run out of arguments because of the advance of medical technology. We're going to look for a few seconds here at an incredible video. It's not ultrasound. It's way beyond ultrasound. As you see there, at only 7.5 weeks, the child for whom we are speaking, the child that we're defending, the child that our opponents on this issue used to say was just a mass of tissue or a blob of cells, they can't say it anymore. The imaging techniques we have today go far beyond the rhetoric and force the other side to admit what they are really saying, that sometimes it is in fact okay to kill a baby when we have other reasons to do so. They've run out of arguments, friends. You know, they used to say abortion is a decision between a woman and her physician. You know what they say now? If you listen closely to the rhetoric of the other side, abortion is a decision between a woman and her God. Now listen to what they're saying. We present to them all the arguments from science, from philosophy, from sociology, the evidence of the damage it does to women. In fact, evidence in every field of human knowledge is on our side. And what they're saying now is, we don't care. We don't want to listen to you. Don't bother us with these facts, because this is between us and God. In other words, they're closing the doors to any further argumentation or discussion. And they're doing that for one reason and one reason only. They have nothing left to say. You know what happened in this country just before slavery came to an end? Those proponents of it, after having gone through all the debates and all the controversies, said, this is between us and our God. Now, we appeal to God too, but we don't appeal to God as the substitute for all the other arguments. We appeal to Him as the very basis and foundation of all the other arguments. But they use God as an escape. And the fact that they do that shows that they have run out of arguments. We are making progress, brothers and sisters, because there are fewer abortion clinics today and fewer doctors to do the procedure. Did you know that in the last decade, and this is an incredible statistic, over half of the freestanding abortion clinics in this country have closed, and have closed permanently.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More awareness campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. Janet, we're going to talk about a very basic form of activity that people can get involved in, but it takes many different forms.
That's right. Well, it's called street activism. It's kind of a broad title, but it's really taking the pro-life message to the streets, because we know we don't get cooperation from the secular media, and therefore there's a lot of activities we can do out in the public square to get our message apart.
And the idea here is that we enjoy in this country the freedoms of the First Amendment, which include freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, so that there are public areas designated, the public sidewalks, for example, as long as you're not blocking access. You've got to let people go by, and you have to let traffic continue, obviously. But to be present as people are going by, to be present as traffic is passing by, to convey whatever message you want to convey, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're famous or unknown, no matter who you are or where you're from, the First Amendment allows that freedom of expression. It's one of the greatest freedoms that we enjoy. That's why it's part of Amendment Number 1. It's so basic. And that gives us an advantage, because it allows us to, as you said, get a message across that the media might not be covering, or that it might be worse than that they're giving it a negative slant. And to the idea that the speech is protected means that even when, and especially when, it upsets the listeners can't shut us down.
That's right. Well, there's a lot of different activities, and one such thing is called a Face the Truth Tour, or Show the Truth Tour. Mm-hmm. And this is very simply where you have an array of large posters, starting with showing an unborn child, maybe in the 6th, 7th, 8th week of development. Mm-hmm. Then you show that same child in a few posters later down the street what an abortion does to that same baby. And then at the very end, show, well, had you not chosen abortion, here's the living child, the born child, or that adoption is a loving option. Mm-hmm. Now, we've done this before ourselves with staff and friends and people and other pro-lifers. I mean, we did it right in New York City, in the 5 boroughs of New York.
Yes.
And you stand about, 25 feet apart so that as traffic goes by, and you have maybe you could do it with really as little as 12 people spread out over maybe a 2-block like length or along a highway. It's perfectly legal. We would contact the police and tell them we're going to be at a certain location for a certain amount of time, maybe standing there for about an hour, say from 8 to 9 in the morning during rush hour traffic when there's a lot of cars coming by, and we would have the signs there. And we really educated a lot of people about this is an unborn child and this is what abortion does to that child.
Well, we also saved lives, because there were people who were scheduled to have abortions who saw those signs and it made them change their minds.
That's right.
They came up to us.
They contacted us, yeah. So, I mean, that's just one simple activity. If people want more information as to how to do an activity like that in their community, they can contact us at Gospel Life and we'll put them in touch and show them how to do it.
That kind of activity shows the truth about abortion to the public. Then there's also the type of street activity that goes to the places where the killing is actually occurring and tries to intervene to stop it. So you have prayerful vigils at the abortion mills, you have pickets of the abortion facilities, and you have sidewalk counseling, which of course is the effort to talk to the women and men who are going into that facility to have their child killed, to tell them that there are alternatives, to warn them about the dangers, and to persuade them to turn around.
You know, and being outside an abortion clinic is one of the most important activities that people can do. Even if, like you just said, Father, you're out there with another person, just go two of you and pray. Because very often, and I know this from the testimonies of the women of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, women who've had abortions, that sometimes, you know, they don't want to have this abortion. They're just kind of grasping. I wish God would show me a sign. You're outside there praying outside that clinic. Sometimes that's just a sign to stop them from going in.
They're looking for a sign, so many of them.
That's right.
And Mark Bomcho, former security guard at Abortion Mill in the Twin Cities, writes and speaks and tells us about the fact that he used to bring women out the back door of the facility when there were pro-life people praying in front so that the pro-life people would not see how many women changed their minds simply because of the fact that they were there. People don't need special training. They don't need to be experts or counselors. They just need to have a will to stop the killing, and they just need to show up because them just being there will save lives.
Well, show up with your Bible. Instead of reading the Bible in the privacy of your home, stand out and witness in front of the abortion clinic.
Brothers and sisters, let's take action. Let's get organized. Let's go out there on the streets. Let's peacefully proclaim the dignity of life. God bless you.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life, because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More awareness campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.